What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. Now, here in the U.S., Lindsey Graham is definitely getting the hots for a war in Iran. And we know that Biden and the government as a whole want a major war, so we'll forget about the mishandling of COVID, the runaway inflation, the open southern border, basically everything else that's been a total failure over the last year. And if they can't have a war in Russia, well, then let's get one going in Iran. And so Lindsey Graham is out there saying that Russia-Ukraine is important, but Iran is the greater danger. You know, because there's Iranians there, you know, they want a master religion, and people like that cannot be ignored. And, you know, they dress funny and they smell bad, and, you know, their dogs are really, really ugly. And so he's going on about that. And he's not alone because Israel sent two F-15 fighter jets to escort a U.S. B-52 bomber that was headed to the Persian Gulf through Israeli airspace on Monday. And the B-52 flew a round trip from the Middle East to the Middle East from the UK in a show of force aimed at Iran. So, yeah, you know, Israel wants Iran gone. It's got nothing to do with Iran is going to invade Israel. Iran knows as well as anybody else Israel is a nuclear power. They've got hundreds of warheads and delivery systems. But Israel wants to remove Iran as a regional, political, and economic rival. You know, they want to be king of the hill. And, you know, it's easier to knock everybody else down than to build yourself up, unfortunately. Meanwhile, up in Canada, proving that they have descended into dictatorship, a member of their parliament has now introduced legislation to outlaw Holocaust denial. Okay? And remember, truth needs no laws to support it. Truth withstands questions. Okay? Throughout history, only lies and liars resort to the courts to enforce adherence to dogma. And that's what's going on here. All right, let's get to the economic news. It is not good. And I didn't see how the stock market was doing. But anyway, Joe Biden and the Democrats have managed to nearly double oil prices in Biden's 1 year in office. Oil is now looking to pass $100 per barrel. And that makes the transportation costs are going up. It's going to hit the supply chain crisis even harder. And but Biden and the Democrats are looking at the midterm elections and thinking that maybe they'll suspend the federal gas tax until the midterm elections. That would save drivers 18 cents a gallon, okay? And that would make Americans love them again and vote them back into office. Meanwhile, industry leaders argue that the United States can protect itself from energy concerns like Europe is facing if it makes America energy independent. And that strikes me as a really, really good idea. Okay, we have a caller on the line, Joshua in New York. Hello, Joshua. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, sorry if you can't hear me well. My phone's on. I'm just calling in regards to, you said that you thought that there was a good chance that there was going to be a war with Russia by Christmas, or that there was going to be a war of some nature. What happened with that?
Well, you know, it obviously got delayed because they couldn't get everybody on board. And, you know, I'm kind of happy that prediction was wrong.
Right. And obviously everyone is, and it's not like you're, like, wishing for it or something. This is just what you thought.
No.
So did you have certain intel that gave you that, or is just your
no,
thinking?
No, it was just me like reading the signs here. But, you know,
it's hard to read. My turn, Joshua.
Okay. We're seeing the people of the world standing up and pushing back, not just against the COVID vaccine mandates, but against the idea of war. I mean, we really got our rear ends kicked in Afghanistan, and the American people are war weary. They don't want another war. They understand they're going to have to pay for it. Their children are going to be killed and crippled in it. And they're starting to realize that, they've got to stop this or it's not going to stop. Meanwhile, the governments are realizing that the population of the world is not the naive and trusting populations that we had, well, as recently as Vietnam. And even there was a lot of pushback on that. As far as the war between Russia and Ukraine is concerned, I think the reason that one is falling apart is because most of the European nations were not on board with that. That includes a lot of the NATO nations as well. And, selling a new war is going to be a very, very hard thing to do. We may see another false flag attack, but with so many people looking at 9/11 as having been a false flag attack, that's going to be a hard sell as well. You know, the more the governments use these dirty tricks, the less effective they become.
True. And I just wanted to point out that I made mention on a couple of radio shows, yours is one of them, that by springtime of this year, so I'm saying by the 21st, 22nd of March, that everything will have changed without a doubt, and everyone will know it. And at this point, we all know Australia, what's been going down there, and now we've been finding out that people are being killed, supposedly, in these camps they're being put in. And then also, on top of that, UK Boris Johnson's government, supposedly, was just held accountable. They were just found guilty by a court, high court or something. Or something, whatever, something to do with decisions that they made or whatever. And then on top of that, we have Israel, who's got their people that are dying left and right from taking the boosters. I guess supposedly everyone that's taken 4 booster shots over there in Israel, all of them have died. And so on top of that, we got the elections that we know have been getting stolen. And then here in America and then Canada now, Justin Trudeau just declared martial law. Everyone knows this is BS and it's not going well for them. If I'm not mistaken, those are the Five Eyes, right? Every one of those countries?
Yep.
Okay. So I just wanted to point out that it's coming on springtime. We got a little bit more than a month and my prediction will have come true. So I just wanted to point that out. And yours did
not. I hope you're right. I absolutely hope that you are right. So thank you very much for the phone call, and we're going to go to Layla in Canada. Hello, Layla. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. It's the martial law that Justin has declared. He's essentially trying to outdo Pierre Trudeau, who was the first to use martial law in Canada when there was a crisis in the province of Quebec only. But he instituted what was then called the War Measures Act, which has morphed into what is now called the emergency measures that Justin is using. That was changed in 1988. And one of the reasons they did that was because the War Measures Act abused the rights and freedoms of people. So they the new act requires that they can only act in accordance with the existing Charter of Rights and Freedoms.
Okay.
So for him to say that freedom is an ultra-right-wing concept is so utterly insane that it just shows the logic of the people that are backing Justin Trudeau. The other thing, too, is there was no need for this in order to control the money because the universal banking system that is controlled by the Basel regulatory framework already allows banks to possess the money that is deposited in their banks rather than bailouts. It was called bail-in, and it was confirmed in Basel III, where the banks, if they needed the money, could use the money on deposit by those who deposited funds. And all those who deposit money in a bank are considered unsecured creditors.
Yes,
so
we talked about
that. Their money
that
doesn't belong to them. And there's no way that you can even take out the money and put it into some other, for example, I was considering taking out the money and putting it into a money order made out to myself, but I still have to go to a bank to have it changed into currency that I can use. And the other thing, too, was at one time I tried to create 2 USD accounts, one where I receive USD funds from the US pension plan that I have. But I cannot use it. I cannot send money from that particular account. I can only transfer within the online banking or telephone banking to a Canadian account. So I lose money when I change it into Canadian money, and then to change it back into USD, I lose another 30 to 35%. So when
that's
I try to
pretty,
create a checking
account,
it's outrageous. I lose loads of money. But when I tried to create a checking account with a USD account, I did it on the self-serve option in the online banking.
Yeah.
I even ordered checks and was going to use the checks. And then the bank informed me that I wasn't entitled to do that because of the money laundering laws. So they closed the account. And any checks that I had issued were made were going to be defaulted on.
Yes.
So they've already got all the powers they need to control any money that is coming into Canada and is using a Canadian bank in order to distribute the funds. There was no need for him to do this. But let me go back to Pierre Trudeau, when in 1970 he used the War Measures Act to stop the FLQ, the Front for the Liberation of Quebec, when they kidnapped two men. One was a diplomat, the other was a politician. They were being held as hostages in order to release other FLQ members from prison. And Pierre Trudeau called out, invoked the War Measures Act, had tanks in the streets of Montreal and armed soldiers. The journalists at the time were very aggressive and challenged him and said this was a violation of civil liberties. And they asked him, how far will you go with this? And he sneeringly responded, just watch me. But then he was forced to backtrack and he withdrew it. Now, when Justin Trudeau was only running for the leadership and the prime ministership of Canada, he was seen on an airplane by a journalist who then asked him, are you actually going to run for prime minister of Canada? And Justin Trudeau wrote on the napkin. He didn't have his quick, witty response ready. So he wrote on a napkin and he gave it to the former journalist who asked him. He said, just watch me.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, he's basically, there was no need for him to invoke this. But it what he's done continually is he's poured fire on this, he's poured fuel on this fire that is threatening to go out of control. And perhaps that's what he wants. Perhaps those are his instructions. Or there are some who say this is not a legal issue. This is an ego issue for Justin Trudeau and all those who are backing
him.
I'm
sure that's a big part of it.
Very much. He's got a tremendous, he's throwing a temper tantrum. How dare people not obey him? And that's one reason why I think Kyle Kemper, his half-brother, has probably, I think there's a little bit of sibling rivalry there. Now, Alexandre Trudeau is the one who is really his closer brother because he uses the name of Trudeau. He's from the first family that Margaret had.
Yes.
I hadn't thought about Kyle Kemper, but let me just add one more thing. The name K-E-M-P-E-R, Kyle Kemper.
Mm-hmm.
The family name of the mother of Mark Carney, who's that international bankster, his mother's maiden name is Kemper.
Okay.
So once again, we're talking about families who intermarry to institute their own advancement and their financial control of the subhumans, of the Untermenschen.
Yes.
That's what we're getting into. So, yes, you are right when you say that a civil war does break out in Canada, it's going to go over the border. It is very much a danger to the entire North American. And then we have, you know, Central America also rushing in with its, if that goes out of control, somebody has got to stop this egomaniac, this little mini emperor, little Fidelito, who's running Canada, has got to be stopped. Now, I know I'm putting myself at risk for saying this, but he has to be stopped. There are apparently, the nickname Fidelito was widely applied in Cuba because Fidel Castro used to avail himself of two women a day, and there were a bunch of all women who didn't know who the father of their child was would call it Fidelito. So
yeah.
To me, Justin Trudeau is Fidelito of Canada. Okay, I've said it, I'm probably... I said a lot. I probably put myself at risk. But, hey, I'm nearly 77 years old this summer, so come and get me. You know, I just happen to have a good memory and an interest in politics. I will let you go, Michael.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call, and I hope you're not going to get into trouble. But, you know, nobody in government listens to this show. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm sure somebody is spying on us here. Anyway, we're going to go to Andy in Texas. Hello, Andy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, First off, I want people to realize, and I think most of them do, at least who listen to RBN, but anybody new listening, look, if these people who just are releasing all these things, like those little kids in Nevada that found out the next day they didn't have to have masks on anymore, they went crazy and stuff.
Yeah,
these
I saw that video. Talk about a happy bunch of kids.
Absolutely, but to these people who did this to your children, did this to you, did this to your business, did this to everything, they're still in power. We haven't had too many elections between 2 years ago and now. So these people, so we cannot look at these people as heroes in any way, shape, or form. I mean, even DeSantis, even though he came off early and started taking restrictions off, we still can't look at him as a hero, nor can we here in Abbottville down here in Texas.
Well, you know, I disagree with you. I think anybody who takes a stand on principle is a hero, and maybe it doesn't come up to your threshold of removing the politicians, but I think we need to appreciate and applaud every act of heroism that we see out there, including those kids in that classroom.
Absolutely, but in the same token, you know, I totally agree what we can, any accomplishment we can give between what's happened and what happens now. But, you know, DeSantis was a lockdown guy, too. He locked off his borders. He didn't let people come in. He was testing them and doing it just like everybody else was. So we have to remember these things, no matter how tyrannical it was or how untyrannical it was. But now let's switch the gears here. Let's go to digital currency. Okay. Think about what's going on in Canada right now. So he just declared an emergency up there, and the prime minister executive lady up there, she was the one reading the way they were going to steal their money, including cryptocurrency, Bitcoin and whatnot, and take their money and stuff. So when we're into digital currency, think about this. We're not even into digital currency right now, and these people are going to cut people's accounts off and stop money from flowing.
Yeah, I mean, Trudeau's talking about freezing the entire financial assets of every one of the truckers. You know, so they can't buy food, they can't buy fuel, they can't heat their homes, they can't feed their children. I mean, that's the act of a dictator. There's no question about it.
Well, and how relevant is that to a digital currency? Let's just say they give us all a credit card and we all have, there's no more cash. And you literally probably get yourself a little credit card processor if you want to do some sort of neighbor type transaction or whatnot. Well, however this is going to go, it's just ridiculous. But that shows you right there that you don't want to go there. It's a great example of what they can do already without having just a digital currency. Once we get it, they've got complete control, and it's a switch, and you're turned off individually. And that's the whole other thing. That's why we all have numbers. We all have a social security number. So we're not Andy from Texas, we're not Mike Rivero in Indiana. We are a number to them, and those numbers in the computer is, oh, that guy clicked and hit his social security number, and boom, he's turned off.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
Yeah.
You don't even need a credit card number.
If we're dependent on the government for our currency, on a daily basis, then it is a dictatorship. We are under their control. And, freedom means independence. We must not be dependent on the government because dependency is control. And that's what they're trying to do.
Well, here's something new down here. There's a candidate running for governor down here, and I forget who he was, but Steve from Republic of Texas Radio, I was talking to him, and he was telling me about this candidate. He wants everybody in Texas to get an ID. You would think, well, why don't we just give them to the people who aren't supposed to be here so we can track them? No, he wants to track everybody, and he wants to be involved in every transaction you do, and he wants the right to employment. He wants you to show your little card to you, and then they can test it, then they'll send it in. Hey, I'll let you go, Mike. It's crazy
All
stuff
right.
out
Thanks
there, boss.
An awful lot, and 512-248-8252. We'll be right back with another caller.
there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show here. We have open lines, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to David in West Virginia. Hello, David. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I missed the first hour of your show, so if you've already talked about this, I apologize. But I was wondering if you had seen the story about the AP accusing Zero Hedge of being Russian propaganda.
I'd heard it. It's posted to What Really Happened. We didn't talk about it on the radio show, so you've got an open field in front of you. Tell us what you think.
Well, I'm delighted to see the article, actually. Introductions to non-corporate media was watching a show called Washington Journal on C-SPAN one morning. This was around the time the Iraq War was starting, and they mentioned a counterculture site on C-SPAN called WhatReallyHappened.com.
Yeah, I remember they interviewed me once. I didn't give them the juiciness they really desired, so they never asked back.
When I saw that, I wondered if the person got slapped down for even mentioning you.
It's entirely possible.
Let people know you're out there. But I felt the same way about the AP article on Zero Hedge. There were three separate articles on Yahoo News page today about that story, and The thing is, there are a lot of people reading that this will be the first they ever heard of Zero Hedge.
Yes.
And hopefully they will go there and they will explore and they will realize there's other media besides Fox and MSNBC.
Well, you know, there's a saying in Hollywood, even bad publicity is better than no publicity at all.
Right, exactly. And that's what happened here. Well, and plus, too, I mean, there are, I think, a lot of people who are a little soured on Associated Press.
And, yeah.
They will see a condemnation by Associated Press as an endorsement.
Okay. Anyway. All right. Well, thank you very much here. And let's see. Okay. Let me make an adjustment here for the control room benefit. There we go. All righty. We have open phone lines now, 512-248-8252. We're talking about the economy. And right now, in the last year since Biden stole the office, U.S. household debt has increased by $1 trillion with a T, dollars. And that's why everybody is struggling. And if the Federal Reserve does raise the rates, that's going to crush middle America under increasing debt, because your credit card rates are going to go up. If you've got a variable rate mortgage, you're going to get hit with that. So it's really ugly. And getting on back to Canada and their ability to steal money, it turns out, according to this article in Investment Watch blog, the Canadian government monitors the bank accounts of Canadian citizens. You know, no suspicion of a crime, no probable cause. They just automatically, we're going to watch what you're doing and make sure we don't see anything that looks suspicious, because you Canadians are completely untrustworthy, according to Justin Trudeau here. Okay, now, let me take a quick look at where the stock market ended up here, because there's some interesting development here. Yeah, they had a good day on the stock market. The Dow ended 422 up. The stock market has started back up after Sergei Lavrov proposed to Putin to continue diplomatic efforts with the West. And we get a sense here that Putin was probably kind of fed up with all the nonsense. He made some statements to that effect. But again, you know, war is going to make the economy crash, except for the defense contractors. It's kind of a seesaw situation. What's good for the general economy is bad for the defense contractors. What's good for the defense contractors is bad for the general economy here. Now, getting on into immigration, the Democrats are now out there echoing talking points from the United States Chamber of Commerce, saying that the way you can fix inflation is to grant amnesty to all the illegal aliens and, you know, drive up the already high record-setting legal immigration levels. And that's ridiculous. It's not going to work. You know, you control inflation by controlling government's out-of-control spending. And that's what Biden's been doing for the last year, spending on Afghanistan, spending on green projects, spending on LGBTQ this and drag queen story hour that. And, you know, it's not like it's his money. He knows it comes out of thin air. And he's just out there flinging it in the hope that he's going to make enough people happy to secure reelection. But all of us, you know, realize that money does not, in fact, come from thin air. It has to be repaid at some point from our tax, you know, our tax money right now. And another question about this immigration situation, anything the government does requires an environmental impact statement, with one exception. There are no environmental impact reports regarding immigration. Think about that one for a while. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors, 512-248-8252.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon, socialist banker to the one-world goons, Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR.
And welcome back to our show. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. Now, getting on back to immigration, this story shows just how screwed up our national priorities are. Well, actually, it's not our priorities. This happened over in Europe. There is this woman in Vienna who was being raped by a Syrian migrant, and she stabbed him to stop the rape. And she has been charged with bodily harm for fighting off the rapist. And that, to me, just seems like a ridiculous way of dealing with it. Why not charge the Syrian migrant with rape and deport him? Okay. Now, remember yesterday we were talking about Valentine's Day, and the ATF came on out with this idea that if you had an ex girlfriend, boyfriend that had a firearm and under questionable circumstances, that the best Valentine's Day present you could give them was to snitch to the ATF. That kind of backfired because somebody brought up, what about Hunter Biden and his issue with an illegal gun? So that sort of put them in their place. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Tom in Baltimore. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Mike. Your batting average is not that good these past couple of weeks. I'm surprised because it usually is very good. Let me start off with a faux pas you made today regarding the national debt. It will not be paid off with our tax dollars. It's an impossibility. Remember, you're dealing with FRNs, Federal Reserve Notes. They're debt instruments.
Yes.
So the mathematical possibility is that you can't pay back a debt and the interest with debt instruments, which accrue more interest and cost.
Yeah, technically you are correct. And, you know, all the taxpayers tend to do is pay the interest on the debt, and the principal continues to grow with all this borrowing, but that means the interest payments go up, and that absorbs more of the tax revenues.
And if you look at the accounting system that the Fed uses, I think you'd be shocked at what you would find. They balance their books simply by making ledger entries when they need to from time to time.
Yeah.
Basically, just filling numbers in. Fake money.
It's fairy tale money. It only works because people believe in it.
And I would like to briefly revisit what we were talking about a couple of days ago relative to a constitutional convention. I think it's important that folks understand the ramifications. Now, I know you feel as though a constitutional convention is a viable a possibility to resolve our problems. I gave you a couple of reasons the other day why it is not.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, I wanted to point out to you that relative to what you think, you're under the misimpression that things would be locked in beforehand. I think you might be confusing how we've amended the Constitution in the past. You know, Article 5 provides for two ways. We've only had a constitutional convention one time in our nation's history.
Yes,
and,
correct.
I could give you a lot of examples, but out of courtesy to the other callers, I'd like you to ponder this. That original constitution was to amend the Articles of Confederation. Now, if you know your history, you know that nothing of the sort happened. In fact, the Articles of Confederation were trashed, and we had our Constitution the genesis of our Constitution started there. So that alone should point out to you that a constitutional convention can lead to a situation where everything is up for grabs, and that's the point that I think people should go away with. Don't take my word.
Okay, but let me come back at you. First of all, a constitutional convention, either then or now, only works if we have a governing body that feels they are bound by the Constitution. Remember what George Bush said, the Constitution is a blankety-blank piece of paper. And that's really the core of all the problems the nation is facing right now, is a government that refuses to abide by the contract with America. That being set aside, you know, the idea of a constitutional convention, they're going to have to come up with something that the public agrees with, because without public support, you will not get legislative support at the state level, and you will not get that constitution, that new version of the Constitution ratified. So that's the safety device.
Your first point is exactly what I pointed out, and probably the most important one. To go through the trouble of a constitutional convention when they're not even obeying what we have now is, I think, fruitless. However, I think what you're still missing is the fact that when you open up that door, it doesn't matter what the people agree on and the legislatures agree on beforehand. There are no rules. Read the Constitution. There are no rules relative to a constitutional convention. The rules would be made up along the way, and there's nothing saying that those rules can't be changed once the Constitutional Convention has convened. Even the Supreme Court has weighed in on this. So have many constitutional scholars. So I think you should study up on that a bit, and let's put out the correct information, because the Constitutional Convention is only courting disaster for this country.
Well, you know, my view is that this nation is headed for a major collapse. Could be triggered by the economy. Certainly the American people have lost all faith and trust in the current government. And if we have a Soviet Union-style collapse, then there's going to have to be a constitutional convention to start a new country on this land. So, you know, we might as well look at the mechanics of how that's going to happen. Now, in the original Constitutional Convention, there were limits imposed on making changes to the Constitution. That was called the amendment process.
Tom,
let me finish, okay? You can, you know, to change the Constitution, you have to have a bill that's passed by both houses of the Congress and then signed by the President of the United States. Then it has to be sent to the states to be ratified. And if you don't get enough of the states to ratify it, the amendment is dead. And so, you know, in
Mike,
theory...
Michael, you're wrong. There's two ways to change the to amend the Constitution. I fear that you're mixing the two together. A constitutional convention opens the door, and everything is up for grabs. Your Second Amendment, your freedom of speech, even slavery.
Okay,
Tom, listen
to me. If the Constitutional Convention comes out with something like you don't have any gun rights and you don't have any privacy, nobody is going to support it. The people will turn their backs on it. The state legislatures will ignore it, okay? The only way a constitutional it's got to meet the public approval.
You have a fundamental misunderstanding of what a constitutional convention is. I'm sorry.
No, I understand what a constitutional convention is. I think you're the one who's got a fundamental misunderstanding here. Okay? Anything produced by a constitutional convention, you know, is going to have to be acceptable to the public and the state legislatures, and that includes severe limitations on how to modify that constitution after the fact.
That is wrong.
I'm sorry. Well, then we're going to have to agree to disagree. Thank you very much for the phone call, and let's get back to doing some news here. All right. Speaking of the Second Amendment, let's talk about gun rights here. Joe Biden is back on with his gun-grabbing agenda. I guess the COVID didn't scare us enough, and so now he's back out there. Came out with this ridiculous idea that a 40-round magazine in a Glock constitutes a weapon of war. And no, it really doesn't. I've seen a lot of soldiers out there, and they have sidearms. But just adding a larger magazine to them really does not make them more potent as a weapon of war. Meanwhile, Biden is out there trying to sell the idea that no amendment is absolute. Well, yes, they are absolute. It is not the government granting us rights to guns and privacy and so forth. It is the government acknowledging that we have these rights that may not be trespassed on. Now, obviously, lately, we have seen the government try and encroach on a lot of our rights. There's certainly after the First Amendment with hate speech banning, they've all but erased the Fourth Amendment right to privacy. They're definitely after the Second Amendment because, frankly, the government is scared. That the American people have really been pushed to the edge there. And, you know, Biden is out there trying to say, well, it's all fluid and it can be changed. No, it can't. The only way you can change the Second Amendment is with another amendment. And that means you got to get the necessary number of states to ratify that. Okay. And Biden came on out there, you know, with this this claim, the Second Amendment did not allow you to buy cannon. Well, actually, in point of fact, it did, because it says right in the language of the Second Amendment, you know, the necessity of a militia to preserve the free states. And militias do use artillery. And by the way, you can still to this very day buy a black powder cannon. If you look at the historical recreationists, they're out there with full-size black powder cannons. They don't put balls in them because they don't want to kill anybody, but they do make a very wonderful noise as part of the recreation here. Now, the Supreme Court has previously ruled that the Second Amendment guarantees to the American people, you know, arms equal to those being carried by the uniformed services. And, you know, the gun grabbers like to go out there and say, well, you know, the Second Amendment says you can own a musket. No, it's not what it said. Okay, it says, you know, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And that is an absolute. Now, when I was a kid, okay, there was no issue with gun rights. It was an absolute given. It wasn't until the last couple of decades that you had the liberals out there saying, oh, the American people are dangerous. You know, we've got to protect Antifa and the illegal immigrants, and we've got to protect, you know, Black Lives Matter from all of this stuff. When I was a kid, they taught gun safety in the schools. You know, if you didn't get it from your family, and generally you did, you'd get your first weapon at 12 years of age, and you know, the lecture on gun safety, and the first time you abused that weapon, you'd get a trip to the woodshed, keep you eating dinner standing up for at least a week. And so that was how you taught respect for firearms and how not to misuse them. And that is now coming back. Over in Hot Springs County, Wyoming, the schools have started teaching proper firearm safety. Now, they're using air rifles. But the principles are pretty much the same, okay? Now, after 30 years of lies, the New York Times has finally admitted that the concept of an assault weapon is a myth. It's a made-up political term fabricated by the anti-gun Democrats. It's just more propaganda. And I know the government likes to target the AR-15 because they look mean and they look like the M16, but they're not M16s. They are just rifles. Like, you know, they're actually less harmful than a hunting rifle. Hunting rifles are designed to kill. You know, AR-15s, you know, following along with the 223 ammunition, are more likely to wound than kill. So, yeah, the gun grabbers are out there trying to make you afraid of guns. So, as crime is skyrocketing, people are, in fact, arming up. All right, the phone lines are loading up here, and let's go to Mike in Kentucky. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're okay. On the air.
Okay, I never did hear the big switchover burst thing. Well, a couple of things, of course, on that, what you were just talking about, it really depends on the ammo. If you put a full metal jacket, NATO round in any of these so-called assault rifles, then yeah, they're more likely to go through somebody than to kill them. But if you put, you know, some kind of frangible hollow point or take a knife and score the bullets, which is probably, I don't know if it's illegal, but
I think considered illegal. And in any event, my entire interest in firearms is punching holes in paper.
Right. But anyway, that would do what you're talking about. You know, like a hunting round, it would fragment and tear somebody up pretty good.
Plus, it's a larger caliber. Hunting rifles are larger caliber.
No, it's not just that. It's the type of ammo, hollow point versus full metal jacket. But anyway, the Title 21 United States Code, there's a trap, I think, are in the alternative treatments that are allowed. If there is an alternative treatment, then they have to inform you on that over the emergency use authorization. And, you know,
yes. That war on ivermectin. You know, they didn't want there to be an alternative treatment because then they couldn't get the emergency use authorization.
Well, Patrick Henry said he smelled a rat about the Constitution. And, you know, the states, Kentucky wasn't a state when Virginia was brought into the original Union, but it had inherited a lot of those principles, and Jefferson helped draft the Kentucky Constitution. In Section 10 of the first two Kentucky Constitutions, there's a section in there that says it'll forever remain inviolate. And I know a paralegal that wrote this inch thick under Governor Beshear Bretton Jones when they started the concealed carry in the Capitol building so lawmakers could carry a gun inside Frankfort. This guy wrote this big treatise that said, look, the first two constitutions were amended without authority to do so, and one of those provisions was that there is no provision for concealed carry. If you're carrying an armament in defense of yourself, there's no law against that. So it took about 10 or 15 years, Kentucky's concealed carry permit got struck down. Now, the 14th Amendment, you can go find legal scholars have written all this stuff about how the 14th Amendment is essentially a new deal, almost like it was a whole new constitution. But there's also language contemporary with the founders going back before 1828 that talks about the original intent where The intent of the Second Amendment was that we, the people, should have every awful implement of war. And that is the phrase, every awful implement of war.
Yes, so, to hold off tyrannical government.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose. And you look at the original intent of the amendments there, the preamble is almost more important than the Constitution, because it says the original intent of those articles, which I think I was thinking of depiction of them being 12, and they got kind of merged into 10. It is to further restrict government. It is no restriction
yes.
on us. Those amendments do not grant us anything that we didn't already have. They restrict government. So that's a subtle principle that people are, and the title is wrong. It shouldn't be the Bill of Rights. It should be the Bill of Further Restrictions and Declaratory Clauses. But I'll let you go on that note.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to skip the break here, and we're going to go to Dan in Washington State. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the show. Oh, we lost Dan. All right, then we're going to go to Bruce in Texas. Hello, Bruce. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I'm going to do some conspiracy theory not connecting here. You know, you had the Port Arthur shooting in Australia. I believe it was 1996.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And there was many questions over that. You could call that one of the first mass shooting false flags.
And I think there was one at a British school a couple of years before that.
Really? Did gun laws, did draconian gun laws follow that shooting?
Yeah.
Gun grab?
Yeah, there was a major gun grab. And interestingly enough, in the case of Great Britain, studies showed that following the gun ban on the British subjects, crime went up. And more people were being shot because the criminals had the guns. And Britain kept the gun ban in place. The excuse they used was the British people were feeling like they were safer, even though they actually were not. A pretty lame excuse, if you ask me.
Okay, so you have that one also. You have Sandy Hook. Remember Sandy Hook? They weren't successful completely. Okay, they bankrupted Remington, though. I believe a settlement just came down. They got to take like $45 million out of that company or what's left of it. And you had New Zealand, Christchurch. That was really, really weird, too. I mean, the video was weird, and there was a military drill going on.
Yeah.
And, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but if you look into it, it's really sketchy. And
Look at Columbine. That one happened just when the state was getting ready to ease restrictions on guns. And all of a sudden, there's a mass shooting and guns are bad. And, you know, of course, the shooters were all hopped up on these prescription antidepressants, which are very, very dangerous medications.
Yeah. These countries constitute the Five Eyes, and they also are the ones that are pushing the most draconian lockdown, vaccine passport, mandates, et cetera. So I wonder if that was part of a larger plan, all that. Disarm the public first and then start cracking down on them. Start rolling up the freedoms.
The government will never sleep soundly until the people are completely disarmed.
Exactly. And you had the Patriot Act and all that other stuff, too. 9/11, Oklahoma City.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, that's all I had.
All right, plus the Boston Marathon bombing. I mean, this is how the government rules you. They lie to you. They trick you. That's how they maintain control. All right, we're going to go to, first of all, we do have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Peter in Los Angeles. Hello, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Interesting talk about the discussion on the Constitution. I want to point out a couple things that have been mentioned in different conversations, but maybe not connected. Nothing can be done, really. Constitutional convention, you know, whatever you're talking about, untethered government from any contract with America.
Yes.
The first step is to get control of the banks and the media. There is no way that, the government, it's not the government afraid of us. It's the billionaires who the government is just a tool of that are afraid of us. It's the Bloombergs and the Soros who are funding the Second Amendment, killing the Second Amendment to the tune of billions of dollars per year, by the way. you know, the government will outright lie, and the media actually lies about the content of the Constitution. You've cited them a couple of times.
Common Core deliberately misquotes the Second Amendment to say that you have a right to keep and bear arms if you're in a government, military body.
They do it all the time, and since nobody really teaches the Constitution anymore because it's not allowed under Newspeak, really.
Yeah.
You have to get the media and you have to get the banks. Because the people, you can have a constitutional convention, and the media will come out and do the Russiagate. For years, people thought that a lot of people thought Trump was a Russian spy, and the crap that's there, they can make you think just about anything.
Well, that's why the independent media has sprung up. People have lost the trust in the corporate media because they have been lied to so many times. And, because of the independent media, a lot of people do know that whole Russia-Trump collusion issue was a great big fat USDA choice pile of bovine excrement.
You're absolutely right. But they're also being shut down at a very high rate. And there's still a lot of people, Mike, that guys like you don't reach, unfortunately. That's right. You're the only defense, really. But the banks, I mean, geez, it'll be like Citizens United. You know, all at once, you know, the money swamps everything else, and you may as well just, it will just come out another tool of the billionaires. But they lie about everything, Mike, and you can't control the greed in people until you get rid of the money junkies, until you get rid of the billionaires and the bankers and the media. You can't, a constitutional convention would be an exercise in futility, really.
Well, I'm willing to concede that point, but again, I think this nation is headed toward collapse like the Soviet Union, at which point we will have to have a constitutional convention. Or we could just go back to our existing constitution and the first 13 amendments, and I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Mike, but I'm saying that it will be an exercise in futility before we go to that convention, we absolutely take control of the media and the banks. Otherwise,
we're in an online war with the media right now, and given their displayed fear in recent months, I think we're winning.
Yeah, it's frightening, this banking, that we can just confiscate your accounts. It's like the haircut they gave to Cyprus, remember?
It's only now being done to us. Well, that's why it's a good idea to only keep as much money in the bank as you need to pay your immediate bills. Keep the rest home at cash. Put some into gold, silver, or ammunition. That's going to become a barter object during the interregnum, as it were. Anyway, listen, I got to let you go. Thank you very much for the phone call here. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins is going to be taking the microphone tonight. He had technical issues last night. Go out on social media everywhere. Post links to republicbroadcasting.org, post links to whatreallyhappened.com. You can go back to donating now. Give, Send, Go is back online. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.